It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are. Hello yet again, everybody listening. Hello, Swiggies. Hello, Rachel. Hello, world.
Hello.
I just want to say, this is now part two of us discussing basically our reactions to the Tortured Poets Department. Part one, I recently just learned, was actually live on our podcast page, and it wasn't even a completed, finished episode. And I can see that it has been live and posted, and people have been listening to it. So if you are one of those people that listened to part one, I'm really sorry. It is not a finished episode. It's a little embarrassing that happened. By the time you're listening to this, there should be a completed part one that you can go back and listen to. So sorry.
So you're saying there's been a glitch?
There's definitely been a glitch. I think there's been a glitch. Yeah, a little awkward, a little embarrassing that happened. But that basically,
That
we're recording this, that wasn't supposed to happen. But this is part two. Part one was us discussing our reactions to the Tortured Poets Department, the original 16 tracks. And I gotta say, I think I acknowledged this when we were talking about it, but I'm sorry, I was exhausted and not comprehending still that entire album. So the things that I said in that episode, I have actually changed my mind on. I mean, I was listening to Guilty Is Sin, Rachel, and I was like, wait, no, of course this isn't about the media. This is literally about her imagining cheating on Joe. It's like, there are so many fathomings that have continued to happen in the
same Sam. Since, actually, it's funny you should say that, because I feel like I had a vulnerability hangover all night long after we finished recording that episode, because I feel like I couldn't remember anything I said, and I felt like I was changing my mind.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
I apologize for everything that you heard if it was wackadoo, and if I repeat myself or if I like completely contradict myself today, because that is just, like you said, this is what we're working with when we are just dropped 31 songs on an album that we thought we knew what it was about, and it was about something else, except maybe it's about exactly what we thought it was, except maybe we don't even know anything anymore, and we don't know about anything we've ever said on this podcast for the last 70,000 episodes.
No, I literally know nothing. Literally nothing. Okay. So that's sort of the preface. I think, Rachel, what I want to do for this episode, you know, we shared our thoughts on the first 16 tracks, but we really didn't discuss the other part of the Tortured Poets Department. Was this huge surprise that Taylor gave us 2 hours after releasing the Tortured Poets Department. She surprised us by telling us there's actually a double album, and the second part of it is another 15 songs that is called the Anthology. So what we have on our streaming platforms is the Anthology is track one, begins with Fortnite all the way through those first 16 tracks, and then basically track 17, it continues all the way to track 31. So in a way, it's like one entire album. It's like the album does not end with Clara Bow, but rather it ends with the manuscript, which is track 31. So before we really get into these tracks, What are your thoughts on, can you tell I am so much more energized and less sleepy today?
Yes, you are.
I mean, it is in the morning.
I'm glad to have you back.
Thank you. It feels good to be back. I have had sleep. I have had coffee. I have had rest. I have had understandings. I've had fathomings. So, and it is a beautiful sunny day. So all those are really allowing me to be energized. So thank you for putting up with me. Yeah. So it feels good to be a little bit more saner today. I mean, I still have lost my mind over this woman, but
we will continue to do that.
Absolutely. I want to ask you, Rachel, before we get into the individual tracks of discussing like the second half of the album, basically, what is your thought on the fact that it's one full album or two separate albums?
Yeah.
Do you intend to listen to the anthology on its own, or is it all part of the whole Tortured Poets department? Does Clairabeau not end?
Yeah. You know, I think in the last episode, if it made it onto the episode, I don't know what I said. I feel like Taylor Swift was writing a different album. At first, I think she was writing content about Joe, perhaps, or at least about her mental state in the final breakdown of her relationship, her 6-year relationship, and maybe how she was going to process that. And then because of that, like in the midst of that breakdown, something bigger happened. And mm-hmm. I think she discovered the album became a little something else. And so, Okay, you asked me, do I think it's two albums?
Yeah, that's not what I asked you. But of course, I love that you explained that to me.
Well, okay. How do I plan on listening to this? I don't really know yet. To be perfectly honest, I love individual songs of the first half. I mean, I love a lot of it, but it feels so chaotic. The second half actually feels like the album that I thought I was going to get.
Yes, I completely agree. I mean, it was what I was expecting the Tortured Poets Department to be was the second mm-hmm. half, with mm-hmm. the exception mm-hmm. of one song, but everything else like really sort of fit in that assumption, the shape of what I assumed it to be. And I acknowledged this in the last episode where we talked about the first half, is that it took me by surprise. The sound of the album definitely took me by surprise. The second half is the sound that I was expecting. It's more Aaron Dessner. Yeah. It's more folklore-esque. Yeah. And like the poetry, the words, I think, are just way, not to discredit the first half, which is brilliant, but the poetry is deeper, I feel, is more... I should just say there's more poetry, period, in the second half than I'm getting in the first half. The first half definitely has some beautiful poetry, but just getting more of it in the second half. And they do feel like two different albums. I'm sure that was intentional. That's, you know, it, rather than like these aren't fault tracks that we didn't think were strong enough.
Yes.
You know, I mean, she intentionally released it the same night. Just like she did for freaking Midnights. She released it the same night. She wants it to be a part, but she didn't want it to be what was actually the idea of the Tortured Poets Department is those first 16 tracks. I guess I'm clearly still fathoming this, aren't I? I really just don't know.
Well, okay. I think I want to bring us back to, I briefly touched on these liner notes that we received in the album. And if we had received the liner notes before pressing play on this album, I think I would have not been quite so like psycho. Like, I think I really would have had a better awareness. It begins with like in summation. And she's essentially saying, like, As you all might all unfortunately recall, I had been stuck with a case of a restricted humanity, which explains my plea here today of temporary insanity. You see, the pendulum swings, oh, the chaos it brings, leads the caged beast to do the most curious things. That, to me, explains exactly why we received a bit of a chaotic first half of an album.
Okay.
I think. Or I shouldn't say I don't even know if chaotic's the right word as much as,
yeah, it doesn't feel chaotic. I wouldn't use that word, but okay.
It feels like she's a little insane.
Yeah.
I want to use some poets, if this means anything to anybody. I feel like if we're going to assign a poet, the first half is Emily Dickinson, and the second half is Mary Oliver. And I don't know if anybody, like, if that means anything to anybody, but Emily Dickinson writes these, like, really, like, these poems that really make you go, wait, what? Like, what is she talking about? Like, what happened? Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yeah, that was happening in the first half of, like, wait, is this about this is about Maddie Healy. This isn't about the breakdown of a relationship. This is about maybe what happens when you bust out of fresh out the slammer and you decide to live a totally different life than you had been living in the last 6 years. Later, she goes on to say, spring sprung forth with dazzling freedom hues, then a crash from the skylight bursting through, something old, something hallowed, who told me he could be brand new. Mm. And this is what I think when she's hinting at this next relationship that she had, that perhaps was something that she'd always been curious about, always wondered about. And this is when she was just like, fuck it. I'm going to go find the wild boy and live a wild life and get bust out of the slammer.
I feel like those two words, fuck it, are a really
yeah,
good summary, yeah, of how Taylor was feeling. And
yeah,
I mean, listen to the song Down Bad,
yes,
and you'll get it. Fuck it, I can't have him. But it's literally just like, fuck it. Like, I don't care anymore.
I don't care what you're going to say about it.
Or
I don't care what
he's... Just, I'm going to do it. Just fuck it.
And yes,
that, to me, is a really good summary of this era for me.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And good for her. Good for her.
Yes.
We support that. Well, I will say we did not support that relationship, which we get called out on. And
fair.
That's fair. Like,
yes,
we deserve to be get called out on that. And I just want to point out, when she was going through this tryst with Maddie Healy, you and I didn't really talk about it on our podcast. It felt wrong to talk about it because,
oh, I know,
it felt like everyone was coming for her, but they were also coming,
yeah,
for Maddie. And I, yeah, don't know, Rachel, about you, but I didn't know where to stand in there,
no,
because, like,
I still don't know where to stand.
I still don't know where to stand, but that the whole thing for Taylor was just like, fuck it, I don't even care, I'm just going to do what I want. And that to me is the first half of the album.
I have one more thing. One more thing to say to wrap up the first half and then get us into the second half.
Okay.
There's this line where she says, a smirk creeps onto this poet's face because it's the worst men that I write best.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
I think that's why we got a shift. I think she was,
yeah,
just like, wait a second, this is a terrible guy, and I write great music when I have terrible men in my life. So, excuse me, Torture Poets Department is now also about this other torture poet and how we,
right,
are exactly the same, and also that was terrible, and also I was already fucked up anyway, and so just like, this is just a hurricane,
right,
called Florence,
Yeah.
Down in Florida.
And just another reason why there's not so much focus on Joe, because he wasn't a terrible man.
No.
And so, but she wrote about the
Yeah.
highlights of that relationship and definitely the downfall of it. But I mean, the true tortured poet comes through in Taylor's writing when she talks about this terrible man who, it's interesting that she is referring to him as a terrible man because she was really falling for this guy. She had fallen for this guy, this Maddie guy. And, like we as the public thought he was a terrible man because we saw the things that he did and the things that he said. Taylor seemed to look past that, and Taylor didn't see him as a terrible man the way that we as a public saw him as a terrible man. She saw him as a terrible man once he had, screwed her over or ghosted her or whatever he did. So that was really what kind of inspired this album. And going back to what you said about how she had started to write this one thing and then this other thing happened and it just totally transformed. I mean, that's probably why we got this double album, right? Because it sort of represents, in a way, her process of writing this album. It changed. Something changed in it, and there was still art to tell. There were still stories to be told, but just in a different light all of a sudden.
I want to take this time to for a confession. I know the way that you and I close listen is I want to know who is this about? We are constantly asking that question, who is this about? And we've also said before, but I kind of forgot. I personally got caught up as soon as this album was released, but by like thinking this was a confession. Thinking this was like a memoir, thinking that I needed to know exactly what these stories meant, who they meant, what they meant. And then I was like spiraling because I was like, wait a second. Maddie's been around in her life for far longer. What about all those other songs?
Yeah, I mean, I specifically go back to in the song Guilty as Sin when she says something about I keep my thoughts locked up in lowercase in a vault.
I keep these
And I think that's got a lot of us talking is she basically saying that there are vault tracks that we have yet to hear that have been about him. That's just another example. I definitely need to go back and listen to literally like the last six albums in a lens of she's had this emotional affair with Matty Healy for 10 years. Naturally, there will be songs about him that we, and yes, Rachel, I'm with you. I also want to know what happened. And I think that's natural for us because Taylor Swift is the type of artist that gives us so much personal information and she gives it to us in a way that allows us to relate to it. So we want to know because we care about her. We don't want to know because we just want to gossip about it. We want to know because like she gives us a lot as if we already know so much, but we just want to check in with her in a way. It's like, again, we're her therapists. We've talked about this. So therapists need to get like info and good and need to
Yes,
get
tell me
stuff
more.
out of their patient. Tell me more. Tell me more.
Well, and I think that's exactly why we have storytelling, is we want to know other people's stories so that we can understand it better of our own story. And
Absolutely.
I kind of think that's what Taylor Swift was wrestling with in Dear Reader. And like, I think, oh, I'm going to get more to this with the manuscript, but I think it's a natural tendency. I want to stop and remind myself, there have been many songs when we've come together and been like, oh, I think this is about so and so. And you're like, well, I think it's about this. And then we both like, yes, it is. Right? Like, it, this is the, actually the best writer. And I really think the truth is, Taylor's like, yeah, I pulled that one scene from that story with Maddie. I pulled another scene from that story with Harry. There's another thing here about Joe. And I pushed it together into a song because, and they all seem like it's the same story because it's so detailed. But in order for us to relate, the story still needs to be universal. Of course, these feelings that she's had are consistently universal in their own shades, different shades of grayish, various shades of grayish that she's experienced. But like, again, she has another relationship that has gone wrong and it is bringing her back to all the other times it went wrong. So I really think, like, as much as we're like, this is about Maddie Healy, it's also still about Joe, and it's also about John Mayer, and it's also about, like, all these other men.
He's still there, Rachel.
I don't believe her when she says, I will forget, but I won't forgive. She's not going to forget. She doesn't forget. These things are these heartbreaks are always a part of who we are. And so even as she's inspired by the immediate moment, but she's still writing about, oh yeah, that's right. I remember that feeling. And oh, this is just a new shade of that feeling. Let's get into the second half, shall we?
Let's get into it. Do you want to break it down track by track? Do you want to just talk about highlights? What do you want to do? How do you want to do it?
I mean, it's so hard. I feel like the last time we were able to talk about like our immediate reactions, and my immediate reactions to most of these songs was like, oh my God, it's 2 a.m. I don't know what the heck I'm listening to. So I'm going to give you like what my current day is reaction to each of these songs.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm leaning more towards that as well. I mean, I have songs that I lean more towards on this second half. That I would love to discuss.
And I think it's important, hi, Swiggies. If you're used to our regular episodes, this, again, is an emergency episode. This is a totally different episode. We normally have different ways that we break down our individual songs, and we will do that with all of these songs at some point one day. Maybe we'll be 95 years old.
Oh, my God, Rachel.
I don't know. I don't know how long, because she's just going to keep giving us music. But one day we will get to them and we will really dive deep. So, but today I think we just give our favorite moments, our favorite, like what we think about the song. I'm going to go out on a limb. You asked me like how I'm going to listen to it. I would be okay. I love so many of the songs on the first album. But if I never received that, I wouldn't be missing it, because I love these songs the very best. Mm-hmm. I would like to take, maybe give me Down Bad. Maybe give me, but Daddy, I Love Him. I could do it with a broken heart. I'll take a few of those. I do like all the others, but really I love these the most.
Okay. So I don't know yet. I go back and forth between not feeling so connected to the second half, but then I realize that they're the most superior song she's ever written. And I think they just need to be viewed in a different light. At first, I thought the second half feels less personal. And I think I said that because you get songs like Cassandra and Peter and Robin, which like to me aren't her stories, except that they are. And maybe they aren't. And so it's really a whirlwind for me. Initially I just didn't connect so much because I feel like it's less diaristic, and I think I like more diaristic. I like more fountain pen. The second half.
Yeah, this
is
my quill.
Quill
this pen. Is all the quill that I ever wanted. Mm-hmm. And it's the music. Like, so many songs here that like, when I thought about the idea of the song, I was like, oh, eh. And then the music would start playing and I was like, oh wait, but I do love this song. So the music is what sucks me back in.
The music, yeah. the, production of these songs are so pretty. Mm-hmm. Her melodies are so beautiful. As Emily and Bonnie would say, it is illegal what she has done to us here. It is deeply concerning what she has done to us here.
This girl is arrested.
Send her back to the slammer. So it starts with the Black Dog. And this song, I think a reason that I couldn't separate the albums is because the sound of the Black Dog doesn't seem like how you would start an album.
No, but it doesn't. Except message,
the lyrics.
Yeah.
Do.
The lyrics do. Okay, wait, tell me more.
Well, because it just seems like the first thing you do after a breakup. She's in a place where something has ended and this is the next step. Yes. She's not over somebody. She's still, but it's over, but she's not. And I love this concept of tracking somebody on her phone, because it just feels very relatable to have, like, we have the feature on our phones, literally find my friends, like where I can see where my friends are at. And to have that after a relationship and to be able to, like, you know, you shouldn't be stalking them, but it's like, well, I have this ability, it's on my phone and I miss you. And I want to see where you're at. And then, like, the Black Dog as this concept of a physical place. We talked about how we could view some of these song titles as bars or places in London.
Yes. And this was the place, one where you were right.
Thank you. It feels good to be validated. But, I mean, I'm not even going to focus on that, because just the song itself is just, it's so real.
And I hope you miss me in the Black Dog with someone who's the starting line in your job.
It's beautiful and sad and angry all at the same time. And I love the band, The Starting Line. So I really connect with the song for that reason, too.
I didn't know The Starting Line. Oh, my God.
We were definitely different eras of high school, Rachel. So The Starting Line was when I was in high school, and I know Emily listened to The Starting Line as well. So, I mean, Taylor and I are exactly the same age, and so that hit me. We can both relate to that. But it's and the Old Habits Die Screaming moment.
It's insane.
Old habits die screaming.
The Black Dog is by far my favorite song on this whole second half. I shouldn't say by far, because I'm probably close second, but
it's my top three for sure. It's definitely top three.
It's interesting. You said it's not a great opener, and I realized it kind of tells a similar story as Fortnite, where it's like, wait, you've moved on, and I haven't, and I'm a mess, and you seem happy, and that is killing me inside.
Is that what Fortnite's about? Because I don't know what Fortnite's about.
That's how I understand it to be. Like, I'm in a mental hospital.
Yeah.
I'm insane.
Yeah.
And you seem fine. And we're neighbors and I see it all the time. That's kind of the idea that I get. Moving on from our guest to I'm going to get you back.
Okay.
So fun.
Okay. I have some things to say about this song, Rachel.
Tell me the things to say.
I'm going to get you back is, to me, how do I put this? I love it almost the most because of its production. It is one of the most catchy songs on the entire album of all 31 tracks to me. The production is so unique. The beat is so different. And her melodies are astounding. There is a moment in the bridge when she and I could just loop that over and over and over again for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Rachel, this song, I don't think was intended for me to choose as my favorite, but I cannot help it. This is one of my absolute
take it
favorite
take
fucking
it.
Songs I have heard.
Great choice
from hers.
Love it.
And
love this for you.
And it's so different than literally yes. every other song on the rest of this anthology portion. So
yes.
very strange.
You told me a couple of times that you, I think you thought maybe Torture Poets was going to be about taking back her power. I feel like that's what this song is. It's like maybe okay. maybe a little bit like Delulu about it, but yes. trying desperately to be powerful. It's the most, it's the strongest I'm in charge song she has on this album, I think.
I mean, I don't know. I group a lot of the other songs. I like, But Daddy, I Love Him is giving me that. Fresh Out the Slammer is giving me that. Florida is giving me that.
I don't know.
Who's yeah. Afraid of Little Old Me yeah. is giving that. I mean, those to me are songs about her power. And
I feel like there's still anxiety in some of those songs. This one just feels like, I don't know. I don't know what I want, but I don't really care. Maybe right. maybe a little bit like of like a drunk power. Like I'm just.
Is that why it's all in lowercase and written in one word? Is that like a drunk thing that she's doing there?
Could be.
Either yeah. way, it is so freaking fun. It's
so freaking
fun. And it is one of my, I will be repeating this song. which is, it's just weird because again, it does not fit thematically with the rest of the songs here. So that leads us into the Albatross, Rachel.
The Albatross.
And you and I have exchanged a little bit of information about this song via text because this is the CD that I sent you was the Albatross variant. Of course, I chose it blindly. I think I chose this one because it sounded the most poetic
yes.
out of all of them.
Yes.
The image of the cover
thing.
I really love.
Love that image.
So, and I've gone back and forth with this song. It's not my favorite, but I really respect it. And I don't have much to say, so I'm curious if you do, Rach.
I have a lot of words next to each other because it's like wild. I don't get it. Oh, this is like Ivy for me, which is, I still feel that way. I feel like it was described as mm-hmm. a blank space Ivy on Chats and Reacts when they
react. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're big blank space and Ivy stands. And so like the combination of the two just blew their minds. I am so excited to really get into it. I feel like there's a lot of connection to poetry still. I think of this as it's just kind of like a warning about what other people are saying about her. That's the blank space. Mm-hmm. She takes it back in the end. And I almost feel like it might be like sung to Travis. Like now you know
totally.
The truth, or you know what you've heard. You've chosen to take this dangerous life. And like, it might be like, you might be better for it instead of like, there's this, I don't know. There's so much more to understand about this, but I think like painting herself as the albatross of being like wild and dangerous, except that, and it was all her fault.
It's sort of giving peace in a way.
Yeah.
In peace. She's like, can you handle my shit? The life that I live, I can't really change. And she's basically talking to her partner in peace. Like, will this be enough for you? If I'm not one to give you peace. That's sort of like a warning in a way that
yeah.
being with me is a journey and it's not easy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what the albatross is giving me as well.
Which I just have to chuckle, like thinking like, oh, she's writing this to Travis. As if he just like, he's so delightful. And I don't feel like, I feel like the like warnings of she's a terrible, dangerous girl. He's like, whatever, girl, it's fine. Like, you don't have to tell me that. You're great. But I might be speaking too soon about that relationship. We will cover that in a couple more songs down the line.
I love it.
Where are we going next?
I could skip over discussing Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus. I like it. I respect it. I don't have much to say about it. I need to fathom it a little further.
In fact, I'd
rather just get to how did it end?
Okay. The only thing I have to say about this song is it's a lot like other songs where I was like, oh, this is a skip for me. And then I listened to it again and I was like, no, this breaks my heart. And
it deeply breaks my heart as well.
I love the music. I love, love the music. And Sam, how can we skip over a track that actually has your name in it?
Yeah, but because of the context of that name, I'm not glorifying this song.
I know. I was like, what if it was Sam and Rachel? And what? I was like, that would be amazing. Too bad you didn't.
That's the thing, is we have so many names in this entire album. I saw a TikTok where this girl was like running off of a cliff because her name wasn't Cassandra or Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus or Robin or Peter or Hannah or Sarah. She's like, this is how you feel when your name isn't when Taylor doesn't give you a name drop. And she was like running to her death, basically. And I felt like, oh, that's not my life right now. I got a shout out. It's not the greatest shout out, but.
All right. How did it end?
How did it end? Another song.
Let's move into where, this beast.
You know, I keep saying we're getting called out, and it doesn't feel, the more I listen to these songs, that I don't think she's like angry. I think she's just acknowledging what happens with being Taylor Swift. And like she kind of gets that the human experience is to want to know more. And
yes,
maybe
we
that's
were just
not
talking about that.
The most beautiful. That's not always great for her, but I think she's just acknowledging that we're all humans and we talk and we want to know more. And yeah, it's frustrating. And this song is about, oh God, but the twist at the end is so good too.
God.
Because like the whole song is like, people are talking, all they care about, all they want to know. She's like using her relationship ending. She's using the metaphor of, what do you call it when you like dissect a dead body to discover how it died? An autopsy. Yeah. And like the postmortem line and like people just want to know, how did they die? Or how did the relationship die? How did it end?
This is what we were all saying about, oh, Torture Poets is going to tell us what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, it's not. and the truth is, like, but she's saying this like you're doing this to me. But we do that. But she's also saying we always do this about people.
Yes.
Like that phrase, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Empathetic hunger. She is talking about us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time.
We are empathetic. We love her. We are so kind. And yet we were like, but tell us what happened. We're terrible. We're terrible human beings.
But it's
we all
not,
are.
Yeah, that's all the like thing that. Is like it should be really considered to be terrible. Like, I mean, do we really need to be crucified for this? We're curious.
No,
people,
it's not a crucifixion.
And we care.
Right.
I don't think we're terrible. We, you know, maybe we should be better, but this is not what makes us terrible. What makes us terrible, not us, but like what makes people terrible is when they critique and attack for certain things. But curiosity is part of the human experience. But what's so great about this song is even Taylor herself is curious, how did it end? And that's the twist that we get at the end. And I know, yet again, like, yes, we'll discuss these songs individually, so we don't want to get into too much of it. But like, overall, this song really hit me because of that twist. And
I think that,
gosh darn it, it's beautiful.
We called it out a little bit. Like we anticipated it with Dear Reader. That Dear Reader was giving, wait, there's stuff here and I'm afraid of how you'll react when I tell you it's over.
Yeah.
And My favorite line that I just bawl every time. My beloved ghost and me sitting in a tree. D-Y-I-N-G. I am wrecked by that. I am wrecked by that. Oh my gosh.
No, truly. It's insane.
So good.
It's insane.
Okay, but let's move on from that sadness. And let's go to high school.
I love this song. Who doesn't love this song? This is the most obvious Travis song that we have so far. And
yeah, nothing could describe it better.
The melody is beautiful. The guitar is astounding. Ugh. The lyrics are so fun. They're so Taylor Swift.
So fun.
They are like profound and meaningful whilst being really like carefree and just having fun. I mean, she just sounds like she's having fun with this song. And it's a bop that is less, it's like, it's not like a Jack Antonoff bop. It is just a good, upbeat, feel-good song. Feel-good is what I'm looking for here.
Please, 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 please let this be the sound of the next Taylor Swift album. Like, I need an entire album of this sound. Whatever this sound is, I need it. I want it. I want, this is what I'm ready for.
It sounds like Hits Different, and
yes.
I love the sound of Hits Different. Yeah, I mean, we could go back to the conversation of what do we want her to do with her sound moving forward? Who should she be working with? And this is very much an Aaron guitar and
it is,
an
Aaron, but it's sound. Very different Aaron-y. Is it different? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know enough about his other work. I don't know enough about The National. And I the only critique is she name drops a video game, and I kind of wished it was Fortnite that they were playing. And because I really feel like that would have been such a funny. It doesn't work in the rhyme, but
right.
I just really kind of wanted that. This is a close second song for me on this
sure.
side of the album.
For sure.
Going in the top five.
Love it so much.
Yeah.
Love it so much. Speaking of love, what's the opposite of love? Hate. What is Taylor talking about? I hate it here. But this song, I really want to give credit to Chats and Reacts, to Emily and Bonnie.
Yeah.
The way that they can comprehend, I'm so jealous of that. It makes me feel really freaking stupid because they fathomed when they heard, upon first listen, they fathomed the song in a way that I hadn't. And basically, I Hate It Here is Taylor singing, it's giving Christmas Tree Farm in the sense that she like leaves her mind to go to a different place in her mind.
Sam!
Because she hates it in a certain place, right?
It's giving Christmas Tree Farm. I don't know why that just shook me.
I mean, it's literally what the start of Christmas Tree Farm is.
When did we get Christmas Tree? Oh my God.
But the reason I want to credit Emily and Bonnie is because they are saying, I hate it here, so I go to secret gardens in my mind.
Yes.
Is Folklore and Evermore and Midnights. So what she's saying in this song is, I wrote these albums because I couldn't actually face the truth, and I hate it here. And I think she's talking about her relationship with Joe Alwyn is what I'm assuming, but it's just, it's a beautiful melody, but a really like, it's sad, but then she escapes to these places, which I think are these albums that she's written, that she's given, even Lover could be this idea of like, I'm creating these love stories because I actually deeply, secretly hate it where I am. So I'm going to use fantasy instead. And I just want to say thank you, Emily and Bonnie, for allowing me to realize
that. Yeah, the first thing I said when I heard this song was like, Taylor Swift, stop reading my journals. oh. and taking lines from my journals because, like, that's rude. and not that I literally have written, I hate it here, but Taylor is my secret garden. She is my literal folklore. Like, I,
yes.
like, same, girl. Like, yeah, I escape too when things are really, really hard and I don't want to deal with it. I go into her music. I've been doing this my whole life too.
Well, and that's what's so interesting is, like, Taylor Swift doesn't have a Taylor Swift to listen to.
No, she doesn't.
But Taylor Swift has herself. Yeah. Taylor Swift's version, like, the equivalent would be she writes songs and that is her escape. Whereas our escape is listening to the songs that she writes. And maybe Taylor has a specific musical artist that does allow her to escape, but
yeah.
Not in the way that we have Taylor Swift, because no one is as profound as Taylor Swift. They just don't exist. I'm sorry, but it's true. And so the fact that Taylor doesn't have exactly what we have, but she creates, and that is her. I mean, it's all very meta. Ooh, it's very Inception-esque, and it definitely hurts the brain, but it tickles it in the same way. Right.
Mm-hmm. I once had a professor, like, I think I said something like, why aren't there any stories about blah, blah, blah? And they were like, write them. Write the story you want to read.
Wow.
She has to write it.
Yeah.
For herself.
Yes.
Oh, and we'll get there.
Yes.
Okay. The next song. I need to know how you feel about this one. You get to lead. Thank you, Amy.
Okay. Well, I like the message of the song. If you remove the context of who it's about or the speculation of who it's about, I like the message. I like what she's singing is like, you ruined me and screw you for that, but you've also got me here, so thank you for that. Like, it's like all of the mistakes that have happened to me, all of the wretchedness that I've gone through, all of the troubles and trials and tribulations have only made me stronger. It's that kind of a concept of a song. So for that reason, I like the song. It's really pretty. And that's really all there is so much to say about Kim and the stylizing of the word or of the words and the title. There's so much to say about that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I agree. I actually said clever, but actually no thank you, Amy.
Interesting. Look, if you know, you know. If you want to speculate, go and talk about it on the internet, because the internet is ablaze with this song.
Yeah.
And we will save those thoughts for another time.
Agree.
So
let's move on.
Look in People's Windows is another song that I don't think we need to spend too much time on, unless you really have something to say. I think it has some of the most beautiful melodies.
Yes.
That I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
So that is definitely worthy of a bigger conversation.
Agreed.
What if your eyes looked up and met mine one more time?
It almost felt like a palate cleanser. Like, we needed, I don't know, something between Thank You, Amy and The Prophecy, which is the next song. I love it. I love it. I love looking into people's windows, and I love the sound.
Agreed. Let's talk about The Prophecy, Rachel. This one. What are your thoughts? I clearly don't have any formed thoughts, but I love this one. This has a lot. There's a lot of lyrics in this song.
Oh my gosh, so much.
Careful, let's not go too much into it.
Harry Potter. We got a Harry Potter song. That was the first thing I noticed.
Okay.
Do you want more thoughts? Okay, more thoughts.
I think we already got our Harry Potter song in Lover when she sang Miss Americana and the Half-Blood Prince or whatever it was that she sang there. But I'll take a second Harry Potter song. There is a lyric in this song that I just want to read out loud. It's one of my favorite lyrics on the entire album. It was sinking in, Slow is the quicksand. Poison blood from the wound of the pricked hand. Like, that one just, it's Ooh. So poetry. It's so there's, beautiful. Yeah, this is just a tiny poetry. Example of all of these lines that we get. There's this stunning imagery. It's a small example of there's so many lines akin to this in all of these songs. But that one, I have to admit something. I was in McDonald's this morning. Not that I need to feel shame for that, but it just doesn't really go with the flow of this concept of the torture poets. But I was in the drive-through line at McDonald's and ordering an Egg McMuffin, and this song Sounds was delicious. Playing, and it was so good. And the song was playing, and like that lyric hit me as I was like reaching for my Egg McMuffin, and I felt so out of place.
I love that. That is
the most beautiful line I've ever heard.
So I mean,
call it out.
The long and short of it is like this is her saying like. Why can't it just be me for once? Like, why? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I was really struck. I'm really struck by that. I really like the song a whole lot. It's beautiful.
I agree. Cassandra and Peter are confusing because she's using Cassandra of Troy. I don't know if that's like her official name, but Cassandra from Greek mythology, and then Peter as in Peter Pan. These songs are back to back. I feel like she's putting her story into these characters.
Yeah.
So it's like a way of telling her story where she like is resembling her story in these characters. Peter, you could talk about like the connection with Cardigan, and I do want to talk about that. But again, this is not the episode to be doing that.
No, but that's going to require us, Sam, to go back even to Cardigan and Betty and like rethink.
Yeah, literally, I am so sorry to anyone who has heard us talking about those songs when we probably didn't even know really what it was actually about, but. I mean, there is a lot to say.
Although I don't think we were too far off. I think we were close. I think what we're starting to understand that she was trying to, and we've said this, she was telling the feelings of her life. That's what she's doing in both Peter and Cassandra. The feelings of her life through the stories of another. Because that was how she was escaping in that moment, or that's how it was safe to tell those stories.
Right.
Cassandra, to me, is another Kim song, and I'm just done with that narrative. Sorry. And we're probably going to get so much more with Reputation Vault tracks.
We haven't even gotten Reputation Vault tracks. Hello.
No, I'm just like, it was a big deal.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I mean, they're beautiful songs, Cassandra and Peter, and they require a lot of thought.
Really beautiful. It kills me.
It really does.
I really enjoy listening to them.
What are your thoughts on the Bolter?
I don't know how to feel about the Bolter. It's fun. Again, another sound I really like. I know a lot of people were saying like everything sounds like everything else. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of new sounds here. It's like similar,
I get why people think that. I think it's like, wow, I'm so articulate. that's basically just how I feel overall. I don't know that they're different, but they all have just the most beautiful strings and melodies that you've ever heard. So in a way, you want to group them together because they're all of the same like level of superiority, I think is what I'm trying to say. I'm at the point of listening where I could like put the songs on shuffle and I like hear the first and like and I try to guess like, oh wait, is this Robin? Is this no. Oh no, this is How Will It End. Oh wait, no, is this Cassandra?
Yeah.
And I'm not quite there yet because they do sound similar, but like, you know, I don't know.
There's some great lines in this song. I mean, it's giving
for sure. It works.
A lot of people are saying it's giving Getaway Car, like What Happened Next or something.
Yeah.
As she was leaving, it felt like breathing. There's escape in escaping. She has the best stories. There's just some good lines in this song. Yes. I really like it. It's not my favorite, but I like it.
That's like all of these. Not all of them. Sorry. There's so many of them. I'm like, I really like this.
It's a chunk of them. Yeah.
I need to come back to this.
I wanted it to be a skip. Yeah. Like, I want to skip so I don't have so many songs I like. But I really enjoy the music.
No, it's just...
I'll give you a skip. It's the next one.
Oh, Rachel. I really like Robin.
I'm sorry. Oh,
no. The line, way to go, tiger, is the cutest thing I've ever heard. And apparently this is about Aaron Dessner's child. Like, imagine being Robin.
Cute.
Imagine getting this song.
I'm sorry, Robin.
And it's so, so cute.
I'm sorry, Robin. I want a Taylor Swift kids song. I don't know.
Well, Rachel, we might get that soon. But first, the woman must have a child. She must bore a child. And to our knowledge, that has not happened yet. Until then, she's going to write beautiful songs about other people's babies. And I love that for her. Finally, we get to the manuscript. And
oh, I've been waiting for this.
I figured this would be your favorite.
I've been waiting for this.
But
I had an awakening last night listening to this song.
You had an awakening? Like you were asleep and then you woke up? Or you had like an epiphany? You had like a fathoming?
Epiphany.
Yeah.
A fathoming. For one, this is truly the perfect closer for the entire anthology.
Sure. Agreed.
As you listen to this song, it sounds like she's singing about John Mayer, about Jake Gyllenhaal. We're not quite sure who she's singing about.
She's just reflecting on past relationships, I think. Without intending for it to focus heavily on one particular person.
Exactly. And at first, I was like, wait a second. Like, why? Why are we going back? Like, what? And I said this earlier, but those words were reflected by my dawning on this manuscript. And that particularly in the process of going back and re-recording her albums, particularly in the process of recreating All Too Well and that story, she's remembering the manuscript. If her life was actually recorded of all of the different breakups that she has had, or all of the different like trials and tribulations of Taylor Swift, like she's looking back on it and realizing that she knows how to get through this.
Yeah.
And
right.
Exactly. I'm gonna start crying again. But like, okay, like she
honestly, I'm surprised it's taking you this long to cry.
I know. This oh, God, it just, like, kills me. And it's actually, like, such a beautiful way of wrapping it all up. Because she's writing to herself at first, like, Taylor, like, you could get through this. You've done it before, and you know how. This, you go back. The professor says, go back. I've literally had a professor say this to me. Write what you know. And that's... all she could do was write what she knew then, and then write what she knows now, and then that's what will push her forward. And then once she has done that, I'm so sorry.
You're just like sobbing right now, Rachel.
I know.
This is supposed to be a summary.
But like, once she has done that, the stories are now, like, she gives the stories to our shore.
But they always have been.
I know. I'm going to write through it, and you get to take the stories now. And you get to make this, like, silly Maddie Healy and this crazy breakup and this wild-eyed boy or whatever, and you can take it to mean however you need it to take it. You can let it be whatever you want it to be. The end. Sign, sealed, delivered. I'm done. Goodbye.
Amen. Literally, that's literally it. The end. Amen. Goodbye. I feel like you needed to get that out.
I did. Mike will be so grateful.
I'm really happy you
because
did.
I came up to the bedroom last night after like having listened to that and had that awareness, and I was trying to tell him, and I'm bawling, and he's like, "I cannot handle this anymore." So, anyway,
tag me in, Mike. I've got the baton now. It's no longer your story to hear, Mike. It is now my story to hear, and. And it's for everybody listening too. I mean, this
Swiggies, right?
Like, hi, Swiggies. If you've made it this far, we hope that you not just like it's not about. We hope you agree with us. It's not at all about that. We hope that you have been able to maybe feel and maybe maybe identify the same struggles that Rachel and I are feeling right now, and that. We are a mix of emotions. We don't fully know how to process everything whilst also, yeah, we are processing and we're both shocked. We're in awe. We're not worthy. We're still confused. We're a lot of things. And I hope that you now feel less alone because surely you're all of those things as well. That is really all of the depth that we can go in because the point of our podcast is to individually dissect every single song. And that's really all we can do for now is just give our overall umbrella feelings. And that just leads us into where do we go from here on our podcast, Rachel? We will continue to explore her entire discography, but we now have 31 new songs to explore, and every single one is going to be fully in depth. I mean, right now, I there's really not too many songs left, Rachel, where you and I can just be like, this episode will go quickly because there's just not a lot to say.
No.
I feel like we've got some debut songs left, and maybe those are the only ones at this point, with the exception of like, I don't know, Shake It Off. No, Shake It Off, we have a lot to say. But there's just strap in, everybody. I mean, if you are still down for this, Rachel, we have a huge journey to go on right now with continuation of this podcast. And I think that begins with me getting some new equipment because I've not been able to, like, really understand certain things that you've said because we've had a lot of technical difficulties in the past few episodes, and hopefully that's not coming through on your guys' end as you're listening to this, but it has definitely impacted Rachel and I's recording experience. And so maybe we could just only get better from here. Who knows? But that's its own thing we got to figure out.
Yeah.
Sister, I think for now we can close the chapter on our Tortured Poets reactions. Now, that is barring if she doesn't do anything else.
Please no. We need some time, girl.
We definitely need some time. I think she knows that, too. I think she needs the time as well. So, for now, I think we close the book on you know, our initial reaction a week later. And I think, Rachel, we should discuss getting back into the songs and the cocktails and the spirit, the musical mixology, and the twisting of individual Taylor Swift songs.
Yes.
Do we do Fresh at the Slammer? I mean, we do, right?
I'm going to let you make that call.
Okay.
I think
so. We're going to do Fresh Out the Slammer, which initially was our choice to do this before we even heard the album. Rachel and I have had some behind-the-scenes conversations about, do we do this? Where do we go from here?
Let's do it.
The next episode you guys will hear from us is Fresh Out the Slammer. Rachel and I have not discussed that yet, but I think we both really want to. And then we'll see where it goes from there. There's just a lot of unknown right now, and it's a beautiful, fun world to be in.
Can't wait. I love this, Sam. The story.
Yes.
From us.
Me too.
From Taylor to us and to all of the Swiggies. clink clink from my cup of tea to yours.
Yeah, mine's water. Just hydrating right now has been really helpful. Clink clink, lights, camera, bitch, smile. All the other catchphrases that are coming from this. Fuck it. All right, just fuck it.
Fuck it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay.